Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting, Israel. We are now studying the Psalms. We have reached Psalm 125, a Song of Degrees. That's what it's headed, a Song of Degrees, and a lot of Psalms in the Book of Psalms have this title. In Hebrew, a Song of Degrees is Shir HaMa'alot. It's a Hirsch. Explain to this expression Shir HaMa'alot to mean a song of ascensions. And a Ma'alot can mean that, can mean going upwards. And he said that it was so called, these psalms, this type of psalm was so called a song of ascension, or songs of ascension, songs of going up, because they were means by which a person could elevate himself, by which a person could take himself out of himself and pull himself upwards towards the Almighty. It also could have implications concerning the way the song, this psalm was set to music, this type of psalm was set to music of a gradual intensification of the seriousness and of the application of the musical instruments as the psalm progressed. And we would also find quite often in these type of psalms there is a progression from certain principles, certain basic principles, to specific applications. And all of these meanings may be pertinent to this type of psalm, the Song of Degrees. Degrees in Hebrew is ma'alot, and ma'alot, it can mean steps, or can mean what means to ascend, means to go upwards. That is why it may also be considered a song of ascension. Begins the Psalm 125, verse 1, that the trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. God will always be with his people. The people of God are the Jewish people and the lost ten tribes of Israel. Joseph and Israel and Judah together are the people of the Almighty. And we should always remember that each section of these chosen people of God have their own individual role to play in this world. And each one has their own uniqueness and their own suitability to the role they have been chosen to fulfill. And in the same way as Mount Zion, which isn't, incidentally, it is a real place, it is in Jerusalem. It is not far away from the Jewish quarter in the old city of Jerusalem. And it's quite an interesting area in its own right, and it's worth walking around and looking over. And for those of you who have never been to Israel, I recommend you do go there. You take a trip to Israel. You will enjoy it. You will never regret it. And you will always be happy that you have made such a trip. And everyone should make such a trip whenever they can. All events, in the same way as Mount Zion will always exist forever, so too will God always be with his people. So too will God always be with those who trust in him. Those who trust in God will be protected. Those who trust with God will be as if they were part of his people. The people of God are not only the Jewish people and the Israelite people and the descendants of Hebrews, they're also all those who believe in him and trust in him and do his will. And spiritually, these two are Israel, part of Israel, but they only are enabled to realize this Hebrew aspect of their personalities to the degree that they cling to God, cling to the God of the Almighty. And never forget that the God of heaven, the Almighty God, the one and only God, is the God of the Jewish people, is the God of the Israelites. That is how he presents himself. That is how he chose to reveal himself to the world, through the Bible and through his people, through the people of Israel. Goes on, Psalms 125, verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. So we have an ascension here. We have a going up, a progression from those who trust in God, being the people of God, being they who will dwell forever. Now we have Jerusalem. And his people, the people of God, being as Jerusalem. Jerusalem is also a physical area. It is a physical place, and in the Bible it represents this physical place. It represents the temple and the temple service. It represents Judah and the service of God and keeping the commandments, as was done in the time of King David and King Solomon. And the temple was built, and when the commandments were kept by all of Israel. God is eternal. The Almighty God exists forever. He will always be with Jerusalem and with his people. The people of God will always exist because they are the people of him. Because he gives them existence. As he cannot change, so too can their status not change in its basic form. Jerusalem represents the religious aspects of Israel. Mount Zion is synonymous in many parts of the Bible, in effect. Mount Zion is synonymous. By synonymous, it means the same, means that many having the same meaning. A synonym, an antonym. The opposite is an antonym, and the synonym is the same. For those of us who went to school and we did a course in English grammar, we have these concepts, synonym and antonym. So Mount Zion is also often used as being synonymous with Jerusalem. And this is correct. This is how it should be understood on the general terms and according to the simple meaning. It also has a deeper meaning based on the Midrashim, based on religious books such as Kol HaTor. Incidentally, Brit Am was the first and possibly the only organization that recognized the significance of the book Kol HaTor to the study of the Lost Ten Tribes. And this book Kol HaTor speaks of the Lost Ten Tribes and speaks of Joseph heading the Lost Ten Tribes and also speaks of Mount Zion and Joseph being synonymous. And they base this on the Midrash Tanhuma says it. Or points out that Mount Zion and Joseph are have much in common, are parallel to each other. So in a hidden way, you could say that Mount Zion often represents the lost tribes of Israel. So why don't they just say so? We don't have to hide things. Why doesn't it just say so if this is what it's supposed to represent? So that's a good point. So the answer could be that It represents Joseph in potential, as if to say. It represents the potentiality, the spirituality of Joseph, who can be reached by Judah, through Judah keeping the commandments. The Jews can merit to reach out unto Joseph and to influence Joseph to go in the path that Joseph must go in. And so to all those who attach themselves to Judah, or believe as Judah does, or follow a parallel path to Judah, they should realize that by doing good, by doing what they should do, as they understand that they should do, and by keeping faith with the Almighty, they can influence the world, they can influence Judah, and they can influence Joseph to go in the right path, and they can help bring redemption to the world. You can do it. You can help do it. Every single one of you, each and every single one of us, no matter what we think of ourselves, no matter what we may have done, to realize that God is with us, God is our friend, God has spoken to us, to our hearts, and put this in our hearts, and not for nothing. We called ourselves unto him, and he answered us. And he gave us this this understanding that we can make a difference. And you can make a difference by making a difference in your own life and doing as well as you can and believing on the Almighty and learning and praying and doing what you have to do as well as you can do it. The Israelites will always be Israelites. They will always belong to the Almighty, but they will only be recognized as part of Zion, as Israelites, as Hebrews, to the good degree that they acknowledge it, and but to the degree that they begin to keep the commandments. Now, they may not be obliged to do so in a strict legal sense at the present time. So this is a matter for theological discussion and for each person to make his own arrangement is of the said degree, each his own understanding according to how the Almighty understands he himself to be obliged. But this is the truth. We should know that by keeping the commandments, we acknowledge that we belong to the people of Israel to whom the commandments were given. Go on. The commandments are a sign that you belong to Israel. The commandments bring to expression the principle that Israel will always belong to God, will always be part of God, but he has to express himself, he has to bring his Hebraic consciousness, his Hebraic soul, as if to say, into expression. And through the commandments and through Bible study, this is possible. Judah, who keeps the Torah, who keeps the commandments, they help express the principle of Israelite nationhood in the world today. That is a nation chosen by God to be part of God and to be guided by the Almighty as to what they should do. And Judah can help Joseph by being Jewish, by being what he is, what he was chosen to be, and what his inner proclivities, his inner inclinations, his inner talents or characteristics, whatever you want to call it, had already made him pertinent to become. We go on in Psalm 125 verse 3, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. This is the righteous put forth their hands into unto iniquity. In other words, that the wicked shall not have control upon the fate of the just, of those who go on the right path, lest those who go on the right path also become wicked. Yes, they are. So that's how it says, that's what it means in the simple sense. The commentators say it does not mean that always, in every case, that the wicked or evil people shall not have control over what shall happen, over what happens to good people, but it means that the destiny, the final destiny of good people shall not be determined by the wicked, and also that whatsoever control they may have over us will only be short, will only be limited, and it will end, and we will see before our eyes it coming to an end. And this is because we are all human, and unless we see that the wicked are succeeding and continue to succeed and nothing happening to them, and then we think that we too can go or should go in their pathway, which is a mistake. So in our personal lives, it sometimes happens that people have some type of control over us and they try to divert us from the true path. People somehow or other try and influence us to depart or to do things against our conscience, against what we know to be the truth, against what we know to be the right, against what we know to be moral. That the people sometimes affect us adversely. And this could be anyone. It could be a members of a family. It could be our friends. It could be our spouse. It could be a teacher, our employer, even a spiritual guide, pastor, rabbi, I don't know who. There could be anyone. There are all kinds of people who often are basically good, but they get something in their personalities which is not as it should be. And they try and influence others to divert, to stray from the true way they should go in, and we should be aware of this, and we should resist them, and know that if we resist them, even though we may suffer from it initially, in the long run, or even in the short run, we will be better off for it. And also very often that the good we expect to receive from those who do evil is illusory. They promise us things and they don't keep them, or they do help us and the help is not worth it, the help is negative in its long-term effects and so on. We should trust in the Almighty, and the Almighty will help us. The Almighty will show us what to do, and the Almighty will make sure that we do not suffer for having believed in him and gone in his way. But we should not give in, and we should not, that's an important principle in this psalm, we should not give in. We should not, just because something adverse has happened to us, we should not go in the wrong path ourselves. We should just keep going and keep trying and keep believing. And it may be that initially for a short period of time, because we have gone in the right path, because we have gone on the true track, things apparently will not be as well for us as they were previously. But this is illusory, and this is only temporarily. And in the short time we're on the long haul, we will be pleased that we did what we had to do. And we say, as we continue in the Psalms 125:4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, unto them that are upright in their hearts. God will always does good to the good. We do not always perceive it, understand it. We therefore ask the Almighty to so act with His correction in a way that is understandable to our way of seeing things. God made us as we are, with our limitations of understanding. We have a certain right, certain logical right, justice in asking that things be done unto us in a way that will be good, in a way that we understand them to be good. The Almighty might see, always pays a person as you would want to be paid. It might be that if we knew all the choices, we would agree that the Almighty acted with us as He did. For instance, we would agree that now it go a little bit bad for us, in order that, say, a great-great-grandson should be helped when he needs help, even though then he will not deserve it, but he will be getting back with several times over the benefit that we should have received now. Okay, and if we knew that this was a choice before us, this is what we would have chosen. So this is what happens. That is the way the Almighty helps run the world. That's the way the Almighty actually helps us run the world, by doing what we would want to do if we knew how things, what the options were in front of us. Nevertheless, we ask God to take consideration of our limitations, of our lack of understanding, and not only in things that we cannot see, do good for us, but do good for us in ways that we can see, in ways that we can perceive, ways that are immediate. We need immediate gratification to some degree. That is how God made us. That is our limitations, and we face up, we recognize this, and we face up to it. We ask for consideration of it. So too, we should also have consideration for others who are limited in their perceptions and in their achievements, or who nevertheless do as well as they can. Should have consideration of others in the same way that you want your Almighty to have consideration of yourselves. O God, O Lord, unto those that be good, unto them that are upright in their hearts, do good. That is what we ask. And 125:5, as for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So now he continues, he says, he sums up, as if to say, those who do evil will have evil done unto them. Those who are bad, a bad end will befall them. They will suffer for it. The workers of evil, the workers of iniquity, will be punished. But peace shall be upon Israel. Shalom al Israel in Hebrew. Shalom al Israel. Shalom in Hebrew doesn't only mean peace, though it's translated as peace, and the peace is the correct translation. But shalom means more than that. Shalom is from the root shalem, which means wholeness, and it connotes good health, wealth, well-being. Everything's okay, everything in an all-around way. Everything is complete and everything is as it should be. That is what shalom is. And here we are promised that Israel will return. Israel will do good. Israel will return and repent. And do good, and Israel will be rewarded for the good it does. That is a promise that the Almighty has made in His Bible, and that is a promise repeated here in this psalm. Shalom al Israel, peace shall be upon Israel. Those who do evil will be punished for their evil. Those who do good will be rewarded for their good. And shalom al Israel, the bottom line is that Israel will be rewarded, Israel will be helped. Why? Because the Almighty will put it in our hearts and enable us to do good as we really want to do good, as Israel really does want to do good. As a real essence, a real basic foundational urge of our Hebrew ancestry, of our inner soul is to do as God wants us to do, to realize our years of light, ancestry, our origins in the Hebrew nation. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi from Brit Am Broadcasting, Israel.